5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad editors, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatia right across the river and through the woods from where Granny took my Aussie because she was drinking too much wine in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show, get up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flats of party, oh, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do, be check out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High. He sailed away to Key Largo in the Hurricane Isaias. His Long Island friends, the entire island snapped off of America and sailed off into Never Never Land. And we were able to locate him somewhere near Key Largo. And we brought him back to do the show tonight. He was on Coast to Coast today as well.
And Key Largo, I wish you would have kept me there. You could have let me stay in Key Largo. Yeah, that would have been a good couple of days for me.
So what was it like? No power, no air, no nothing.
No power, no nothing. Zero. It was, and it's tough. And you know what? I can handle it, and Nicole can handle it. It's, you know, it's Olivia. You know, she, a three-year-old can't handle, you know, not watching her show before bed or the air conditioner being on or, you know, the refrigerator not work. You know, she just can't handle stuff like that. She's three. She don't get it.
Right. So what did you do?
I mean, it was hard. I mean, you know, the first day it was what it was. And we were able to open the windows and it was kind of breezy, you know, because obviously there was still wind with the storm and all that. But
right.
The next morning, you know, I packed her up after a couple hours and I took her over to my my in-law's house and we spent, you know, a couple hours there. I did the, you know, some work for the show, things like that. So we took care of it.
Did they have power over there? All right, we'll come back. We got a lot going on, including the Lakers Rockets.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys. And I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Pharrell on the Bench. So I was really, you know, hoping I could see the end of this Blazers-Nugget game. I'm not going to go, like, searching for, you know, local sports channels, regional networks, and everything else. I don't have time for all that. I'm on the air. I'm busy. I don't have time for that. I just need it to be on. You know, I don't understand. I will never understand Carver High. How in God's name they don't have every single game on. It's just unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Like the NBA is different than the NHL. Am I wrong in that every NHL game is on? They're all on.
Yeah. Every NHL game right now in the qualifying series, if you're out of market, you know, you get it on NBCSN or one of the NBC channels. You know, in the New York area, you can't get the Islanders on NBCSN, but you can obviously get them on MSG because you're local. But
right.
Every other game that is being played, you can get. Now, the only reason why I could think that this NBA deal is a little bit different is because these are not technically playoff games yet. These are still, quote-unquote, regular season games. So they're giving you the whole, you know, home market here. And Columbus with a goal to get within one here against Toronto, 3-2 now up there in that one.
How much time's left in that game?
12 and a half minutes left in the third. So Columbus has a little bit of time here maybe to tie this up. But I think it's just a local regular season deal where, you know, unless the game's on national TV, TNT or ESPN, you have to be in the regional zone or have the NBA package to get it.
That's a bunch of bullshack, Diesel. I don't even want to hear it. Like, I'm sick and tired of it. Like, you can't give me a good enough reason. This is 2020. The world's ending. We got pandemics. I said this today on TV. We have killer bees. Have you heard about the killer bees?
I'm not talking about Ian Bonds. You don't mean the murder hornets, right? The murder hornets?
Yeah, the murder hornets.
Yeah.
Those are the ones.
I think I had one in my garage last week.
Really?
Oh, the thing was massive. I mean, it was the size of my hand. I mean, it was.
And what did you do?
I told everybody to get in the house. I sent little Olivia inside. I said, get inside. And then I kind of waited it out, and eventually it flew out, and then I shut my garage door real fast.
Ooh. So when you went to your mother-in-law's, did she have power?
Yes, they had power over there, which is why I went, because the AC was on. I gave Olivia a break there, and I was able to use the Wi-Fi and get a little work done for yesterday's show, even though I eventually wouldn't be able to get on it because I had no power.
Why didn't you leave her there?
I did leave her there when I went home to check on the power. So I left her there. I went home around 2 o'clock, you know, 1-2 o'clock in that area to see if it was back on so that I could dial up with you guys at 3:30.
Then you went back and got her and brought her back to that sweat box.
Well, what we did was by that time Nicole got home from work. So by that time it was 4:30, 4:45. She jumped in the shower. We drove back over. We had dinner there. And then we, you know, we stayed for another hour, and eventually we put her in the car and she fell asleep around 8:30. So, and then when we got home an hour later or so, the power flipped back on. So thankfully it worked out.
Oh, so everything came to an end and it was fine.
Right. Like I had the windows open downstairs and it was night by then. So it was kind of cool. But then once all the lights came on, I went and turned her air conditioner on up in her room, and her room is so small that it gets cold within, you know, 20 minutes. If you put it all the way on low, her little room gets cold quick. So by then we were able to put her down in her room.
Do you have one in your room too?
We do not upstairs. No, because we've got a bunch of fans, and it's not too bad at night. Cause we're not up there at all during the day. I mean, during the day, me and Olivia are downstairs. We're on the main floor. We were obviously in the basement a lot before this week. Now this week we've been back on the main floor pretty much the entire day. So, yeah, it's been fine down here. We've been good.
So when you were watching the hockey game tonight, they got down 3-0, right? They had some minor league kid score a goal. What was his name? Peterson or something?
Robertson.
And I saw him have the goal and his first goal ever in the playoffs. They brought him up and they were down 3-0 and that game looked completely over. And you're telling me now they're within a goal?
They're within a goal, yeah. And I'm kind of stunned because for a team like Columbus, they don't have the firepower to get themselves back from down 3 goals. They really don't. And what crushed them tonight was they were playing their usual tight checking game, low scoring, and they gave up a shorthanded goal to defenseman Cody Ceci. And if
I saw
Columbus,
that. I
and
saw
if you're
the goal.
Yeah, you're Columbus.
That was bad.
Your margin for error is so small. You cannot allow that shorthanded goal, and it puts you down 1-0. You get down 3, and now they got 10 minutes to go here.
2-1 break. And score. Tie game.
Is that right?
Savoir Faire is everywhere. They score
you
to tie it.
Are so far ahead of me.
Listen, I hate to cash your buzz. What do you want me to sit here and not give people what they need?
I'm with you.
Gotta give
them
their
fix. I still
fix.
Haven't seen the goal. I still haven't seen it. You believe this? This is how far behind I am.
I don't understand. Like, what are you watching it on?
I have it on the NBC Sports app on my iPad. I've got a lot of screens going here in the office. A lot of screens.
All right. Well, you should get it.
Now, here comes the 2-on-1. Here we go. 2 minutes later, I finally get it. Oh, what a beauty. Doesn't pass. Keeps it himself. What a goal. And we got a tie game.
Marpasalo, is that his name, the goalie they yanked?
They yanked him and they put Elvis in.
Right. Elvis Presley?
Yeah, Elvis. That's his first name. Your boy Dubois.
It's the Spirit of the King playing goal tonight.
Spirit of the King in the net. He got sent in as Corpusalo did not get it done tonight.
Oh, we got
Spirit
a little
King.
Going here. We got a little violence. So do you think that the goalies, do you think he realizes he sucked and he gave up the shorty? And then the second goal was a slap shot that was redirected. I think it was, yeah. Right? The second one?
The second one was a redirection.
The CC goal was just a flat out ripper, right?
The CC goal was a little fluky too. Went off of Jones. So that might have been the one you're referring
to. The one that went off of Jones. That was the slap shot that went off Jones.
Yeah, the first one.
And then I saw Nylander had a goal. That was a great goal. And then the kid scored. So Nylander's goal was clean. He just got a pass right down on the doorstep, and he just juked that guy's onions, and then went around him and snapped it into the back of the net. So they were up 3-0. Do you think the goalie Carpasalo, is that his name? Do you think he was? Do you think he was mad that they yanked him?
No.
Mr. Friendly yanked him.
Well, this goes to what we talked about on Coast to Coast today with the Penguins. Sometimes you're just in a position, whether you think your goalie was the reason or not, that things went bad for you. And you just said the Nylander goal was nothing. No goalie was stopping the Nylander goal. You know, it is what it is. You just sometimes need to shake the team up. You just need to say to the guys, look, guys, you got the goalie yanked. You know, it's not on all him. It's on you a little bit, too. Let's pick up our play here. And I think that that's kind of what the Penguins might need to do tomorrow, is to just put Jarry in and say, let's shake this up and change things a little. And that's what Tortorella did by putting Elvis, Spirit of the King, in here. And look, it sparked them. Now 3-3 game here in the third. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great game all of a sudden, that's for sure. And then is there one more game, or is this the last one?
Oh, there's another game. We got the game 4 between Calgary and Winnipeg coming up at, I think, 10:40 East, 10:45 East, right around there.
That's right. Flames, Jets, and Calgary can win the series. Did you see, once again, the Blues blew that lead against the Knights? The Knights came back roaring back and
again.
Won again from behind. Can you believe that?
Just
That's
like
the
they did against
time.
Yeah, Dallas, they were down 3 goals in the third the other day.
Can you believe that? Like, what were they down in this game to the Blues? Like, I'm going to look right now. I'll tell you what it is. So it was in the first period, it was I mean, it was just unbelievable. Oh, they were up 1-0 St. Louis, and then they were up 2-0. And then it was 3-2 Vegas, 3-3, 4-3 Blues, and then 4-4, 5-4, 6-4. They scored the last three. Stone and Theodore had the last two. And Alex had a couple of goals in this game. Theodore scored twice, once on the power play. John Bloom coming up next to talk about the Suns.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all in the bench, John Bloom does the Suns games pre and post in the desert in Phoenix. And they have been absolutely incredible. I love this team. I've been talking about them left and right on Coast to Coast and on For All on the Bench every night because I just really like watching them play ball. And again today, they blew out the Pacers, just showing that they mean business. And they've been winning. That's four straight now. And let's bring John in to talk about how great this team is playing right now for Monty and company and all the fans in the desert. What's going on, John? How you been, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm good, Scotty. It's great to hear your voice. It's great to be on with you. The only thing I think I'm missing is a frosty beverage right now. I've been listening to you forever, man.
That's awesome. Do you Barbara, I was telling
there it
you,
is.
He was telling me about Detroit. Now, take me back to Detroit and refresh my memory here.
Yeah, man, I started my career in Detroit. I went to Syracuse and I ended up in Detroit, and you were just kind of bursting on the scene, taking over mid-late 90s, early 2000s, so once in a while. And it was only maybe one or two times I think I checked in with you on your show, wherever you were broadcasting at that point. I know it's you've had quite a winding road, just like me. And what a thrill that we're finally getting to experience here in Phoenix. I've been doing these shows for the Suns for 13 years, do play-by-play for them as well. And to see these guys play as hard as they are right now, to see them become the talk of the bubble, even though going into the bubble situation, they were the team that a lot of people were wondering, scratching their heads, why they even get invited. You know, why are they there? Well, now we know why they're there. And Devin Booker would probably be the biggest reason of why they're there, but he's one of many at this point, man. They're coming together like a team, which is what a lot of basketball fans like me, and I know you're a Hoops fan too, you love to see teams come together and play team basketball. And Monty Williams has him doing that right now.
So let me get this for sure. I want to get into the team in a second. I'm still tracking you for a second here. So so you went. I remember Detroit, and then you went out to Zona, and you've been in Zona forever. Now, at some point, you started. I know you were doing Suns, but you were also doing. Is that accurate? Like Northern Arizona, the Lumberjacks up in Flag.
I never did the Jacks, but I did the Northern Arizona Suns, our G League team. I was doing their play-by-play for 3 years. And then I know you know this name, but a lot of your listeners might not. And I feel like it's almost my mission in life to introduce sports fans to Al McCoy if they've never heard who Al McCoy is. But Al McCoy in Phoenix is like Vin Scully to Los Angeles. He's been doing Suns games for 48 years. He's 87 years old. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I've basically been his understudy. everybody. And, you know, I also did Arizona Cardinals stuff when I first got out here. I did 9 years of the Cardinals, pre-half and post and TV stuff and public address announcing. And, yeah, but 6 years in Detroit, and then I've been here 17, man. And I love it here. And I've been a Suns fan since I was a little kid growing up in the Bay Area, because Kevin Johnson was my favorite athlete of all time. So when he came to the Suns his rookie year in 88, that's what locked me in to be a Suns fan. And it's so cool getting to broadcast for a team that you grew up rooting for.
So what did you do? You, I remember him. He was a great player. What about, and then he became like the mayor or something, didn't he? Right. He became a mayor. So did you, like, were you silently plotting to get to the Suns at some point? You wanted to go there. Like, this was all part of your grand scheme of things?
You know what? It's interesting you say silently. I guess I would say subconsciously, because I never really had it in my head that this is where I was going to end up and this is where I belong. My wife was the one who got the job here. So we moved from Michigan to Arizona for her job. And my first gig in Arizona was the Cardinals. So it took a while to get to the point where now there's an opening. It's, you know, for hosting post-game shows, and jumped on that. And 13 years later, you know, here we are. And you know, just hoping that I can do this for as long as possible. And what's exciting is that, you know, we've had 10 pretty rough years, you know, it's been no playoffs. And for a franchise that was used to going to the playoffs and entertaining people all over the globe year after year, to go a decade without getting there is crazy, Scott. I mean, it's really, you just don't see the kind of tables turn that much. But, you know, this is the first sign. This experiment in the bubble, this restart, if you will, the seeding games in the NBA is the first real sign to the rest of the league that maybe the Suns are starting to turn that corner.
Oh, I think so for sure. Did you know that, and I know I'm crazy, but you knew that already. Did you know that I lived in Flagstaff?
Yeah.
Did you know I lived in Flagstaff?
No.
Not only that, yeah, I lived in Flag, and not only did I live in Flag, I used to run a radio station, believe it or not, in Williams, Arizona, right on Route 66 there, like that little dinky Williams, Arizona, right in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing there at all. It's absolutely like 1 mile long, the whole town. There's like one stoplight. And so I was living there, and then I was going to end up on, I think it was called KTAR. Isn't that some big station in Phoenix?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Yeah, that's the station I'm on.
Okay, so I was going to go for this job, and I was allegedly going for it, and I was going to, I don't know, I think it was going to work out. One thing led to another. Arnie Spanier ended up getting a gig because he went to Arizona, and then they told me, go to Vegas, and Arnie was on Sports Entertainment Network at the time. And I went to Vegas, and the program director there was a guy named Rod Stoll. And I chased him to Prescott, Arizona. I drove. It was 110 degrees. I drove to Prescott, to the Prescott Downs. I went to the press box at the horse track. I said there was an emergency, and that Rod Stoll needed to come to the press box. It was a huge emergency. Meanwhile, there was no emergency at all. And then I got the guy to come in there, and I go, listen, I'm for Rod. You need to put me on the air. And the guy's like, are you nuts, dude? I go, yes, I am. And he said, you got to be nuts to do what you just did. He said, Saturday, go on the air, 6 hour shift, talk college football. We'll see what you're made of. And I went on the air in Vegas, and the rest is history. My entire career blew up from that point forward. And it all started like I was living in Flag, and then I was doing this dinky station in Williams, Arizona, like running it and talking all day, and no one was listening. And then I was like making demo tapes and sending them down to Phoenix. I wanted to work in Phoenix. One thing leads to another. I end up in Vegas. I go national. I'm in like 300 cities. Next thing I know, CNN hires me, and I moved to Atlanta. And then, I guess, you know, like I said, I ended up at KNBR, and then I ended up national for the rest of my career from the point of being in Arizona. So that's kind of crazy. It's weird when you talk about Arizona to me, because there's so much Arizona still running through my blood from living out there.
I
think it's pretty cool. Let me ask you about Devin, though. I have to say that, I mean, he's really turned into one of my favorite players. This is not something new that you and I've seen, this guy hitting game-winning daggers, ice cold in his veins. He does this all the time. This is something he's been doing at Kentucky and since he came into the league. It's incredible what he's accomplished with no one around him, really, literally by himself. He's been carrying this franchise. I think they owe this guy I don't know what his deal is, but I think they owe him some gigantic deal for the rest of his career to stay there. This guy's a monster.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to see him go. There's no doubt. And you kind of were onto him, I think, even ahead of a lot of people who aren't paying attention because, like you said, you know, he's been on bad teams. He hasn't been surrounded with things. And a lot of people look at his numbers, even dating back to his sophomore season when he blew up for 70 on the road at Boston and became the youngest to score that many points in a game and joining a list that's just really, really short, you know, of guys that have ever put up a number like that. And people just look at it and say, well, it's empty stats. You know, he's not leading his team to wins. What's wrong with him? Well, here's what's wrong with him. He's 20. He's 21. He's 22. Show me teams that are led by 21-year-olds that win in the NBA. It just doesn't happen. And we know this because we're watching it long enough. You need to be surrounded by guys that are professionals, that are NBA players. And for the first few years of his career, he wasn't. Now, not only that, here's a guy who's going through a different coach every year. On top of not having players around him, he's had a new leader every single year. And so now there's a feeling of stability. And there has been since Monty Williams took over. I give James Jones credit for getting Monty because the Lakers were interested in him. There were other teams that would have loved to have him too. And he chose us. And, man, do we feel lucky that he did that. And I think Devin Booker is maybe at the front of the line because he's just taken another step under Monty's tutelage. You know, he buys into everything his coach says. And when he does that and he's your star, guess what everybody else is doing too. They're all buying in. And now we're seeing kind of the fruits of all that come together. Couple things though. I think one, I've been on the Booker train since day one. We drafted him number 13. He was the youngest player in the draft. Ended up being the youngest player in the league that year at 18. And the day he was drafted, I got to interview him on the Suns coverage that night. I was doing their TV coverage and got one of the first interviews. And I came home and I told my wife, I go, I've never seen a more impressive 18-year-old in my life. Like, not even close. This guy has it all together. And, you know, a lot of people don't remember, he didn't even start for that Kentucky team. They went 38-0 before they lost to Frank Kaminsky in Wisconsin in the semifinals. But Booker came off the bench. He was the sixth man on that team. Who could have envisioned him blowing up like this at that time? But once he got in the league, all of us here in Phoenix, we kind of saw it. This guy's going to be a star. And now everybody else is seeing it.
You know, listen, this guy is, he's such a stud. I just hope he's happy there because I want him to stay there and turn him into a champion. I think that would make the story unbelievable. And let me say, well, first of all, I want to talk more with John Bloom, so we're going to carry him over. Hopefully he can't bolt on us because I got a lot of questions I want to ask him about the Suns. But I saw that post game with Monty and all these guys jumping up and down and throwing water on him and singing and dancing. And then they were all, you know, barking and doing whatever the hell they were doing. They were doing a chant. But all I know is that is a great unit. That is a team. That is those dudes. It's obvious they love each other. They care about each other. They're laughing, hugging, having fun. We're talking to John Bloom on the bench. All right. I had to finally just follow John on Twitter at John Bloom because it's been a while since John's been on the show. We got him back on now. I'm really excited about that. So let me just say that, like, because, you know, what I said before, let me just reiterate. I saw something really special going on when he walked in that locker room and they absolutely doused him with water and they were all jumping up and down and loving one another. And then Monty was in the middle of it, like, you know, hooting, hollering, screaming, laughing. I mean, that's the bonding that, and you've been around a lot of teams. So have I. I've been covering teams for 35 years. That they have something going there.
No doubt. And you saw that, you know, we've seen it. And then as soon as they got down to Orlando, we could tell that it was like going to another level because, you know, they had time to be around each other during the regular course of a season. But this is a whole different element. Like when I talk to the guys, especially Ricky Rubio and Dario Saric, both those guys have had a lot of like international experience. They say this is the closest thing to like an Olympic Games, you know, where you're with this group of guys and you know you're there the whole time, and you're going to be in the same spot, and you're going to eat every meal together, and you're going to hang and do all that stuff. Well, it has happened, and I think it's only made them stronger as a team on the floor. And like you said, I mean, just watching them celebrate, you think about Suns fans and how good that made us all feel because of the times that we've had lately. That was amazing, and Devin Booker, you know, deserves all of it, all the hard work he's put. And incidentally, he also is getting paid. He did get a max contract. He's making over $30 million a year as a guy in his young 20s. He's got this amazing wall of wine at his beautiful home in Paradise Valley. He's doing well, and he doesn't want to leave, Scotty. He doesn't want to leave Arizona at all. In fact, he really has said over and over and over that he wants to bring a championship here. He knows how much it would mean. Suns fans have seen everything, MVPs, finals appearances, every award imaginable, but never a championship. That's the one thing that this fan base is thirsting for. I know every fan base is, but, you know, I think people think of the Suns as a team that has had a good history during its 52 years, but never had the championship. I know we're not close right now, but it does feel like something's brewing and something's growing, and this is how you get there, is you have experiences like this. Real quick on the Williams, Arizona front, do you know there's like a real attraction there now? It's called Bearzona, like real bears, and you drive through, you get to see the bears and other animals. That's in Williams, where you spent all that time back in the day.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that. You learn something new every day. Now, tell me about that Four Roses small batch you had going after the game.
Well, I took one out of your book because I've been listening to you crack ones on the air for years. Granted, it's a sound effect normally, but I've decided to start a little tradition here with Suns fans. We call it a liquid victory cigar, and I take a picture. There it is. I take a picture of it every time after a win, especially during these bubble wins where it's significant wins. You know, it's not every win, but even then I wouldn't get in too much trouble the way the Suns have been playing lately. But here, now it's four games in a row, so I've had to vary it up. It's usually bourbon of some sort. That's become the drink of choice. But I said in one of my recent posts, I said, you know, this might make it a problem for me. And I think a lot of people were assuming that I was going to say one thing of what problem I might have if I keep drinking. But no, I said it's just going to be a bourbon shortage would be the real problem. Right. If they keep winning, right, I'm going to have to go buy some more bourbon.
So I think that that's great stuff. I think that, to be honest with you, like, you know, some of the things I noticed about the team, you know, when I was watching them successfully these last couple of games was, you know, and again, you know, today, I'm like, I think Saric brings a lot to this team. Like, he's a nice piece. I remember in Philly, mm-hmm. It was like he was the forgotten soul. Meanwhile, he could hit those daggers, and he's big. He's got a lot of body on him, in my opinion, and he can carry it down into the block from the elbows in. I think he's got some game. We know he can shoot from outside. I think he's made a difference on that team. Am I crazy?
You're not. I think I might have disagreed a little bit if we had this talk 4 months ago when the season was, you know, just coming to a halt because he just never hit his stride here. But during this stretch, man, he transformed his body during quarantine. He lost weight. He put muscle on. He gained speed somehow. So he's a completely different player from a confidence standpoint based on that. And it wasn't like he was a horrible athlete, but athleticism was never his strong point. He is very strong, and that is a big thing he's been doing. He's been throwing his body around. I love seeing that. And I think the six-man role fits him. I think bringing him off the bench has been good. They got Cam Johnson, the rookie out of North Carolina, who everybody blasted the Suns for taking where they took him, and now he's turned out to be just a fantastic player and a guy that's not only hitting threes like we thought he would do, but he's doing a lot of other things. And he also hit the weights during quarantine, added about 10 pounds, and that's changed his confidence level. And Mikal Bridges has been an unsung hero on this team as well. His defense is spectacular. A lot of people are comparing him to some of the better defenders in the league already, and he's still a young pup in his second season. So those guys combined with the way Booker's playing, the maestro, Ricky Rubio, who doesn't get enough love for running the show, for being an actual right. grown man in a room full of kids and leading them. And then I'd also throw, DeAndre Ayton, just, again, making strides, not showing us anything about what he's going to be as a finished product when he's in his mid-20s, but as an early 20s big, pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's a kid, right? So, but I, at the same time, you know, you give me 23 and 10, I'll take that every day. Is he getting any bigger in terms of adding on weight and muscle since they got him? Like, because people don't see him play, and all they do is show the Lakers and the you know, Pelicans and Bucks on television. We don't get to see the Suns enough. I see him. I watch West Coast games. I like West Coast games because I lived out there forever. But how much has his body changed at all since they got him, in your opinion?
I think he's just gotten, you know, a little bit more from a stand, not bigger, because he came in with the NBA body, right? I mean, he was already 7 foot. He already had the weight right. His back is just enormously wide, right. So he can set the good screens. But I think, you know, what he's gotten is maybe a little bit of a stronger base and more importantly, stronger mind and confidence, right? Being able to understand how to read the... Yeah, he's learning. He's a sponge. Coaches love him. The players around him think he's got this ridiculously high ceiling because they see him every day. When we see him in games, sometimes it's frustrating because of the way he's built and who's guarding him. You think he should just take the guy to the rim every time and throw it down. But that's not the way he's built. He's a little bit more passive. He does like the jumper. Now he's extended that range. He's hit 3 threes already in the bubble. Didn't hit a single one before it. But now he's confident in it. And the coaches have always said, DeAndre, you've got the green light if it's in rhythm in the offense. And so now he's finding those spots to take those threes in the rhythm. And if he adds that element, man, he's dangerous. The other element, though, I'll say that is more impressive of his growth is defensively, because he was lost a lot as a rookie, and as most rookie bigs are lost in the NBA. He would be looking at the guy he was playing in awe a lot of the time. That's over. But he still isn't at the point where he believes he's the man, and he believes that he has the advantage every time he goes out there. And I think eventually that will happen, and that's scary.
What's happened to Big Frank, John?
Yeah, I was hoping for more out of him so far in Orlando. I mean, he's given him minutes and some space, but they're a little bit short right now with no Aaron Baines and no Kelly Oubre Jr. And that's the other amazing thing. Kelly Oubre Jr. was huge for this team all season, and you don't have him, and you're still going 4-0 and doing the things they're doing. I think he'd just be another weapon if he's able to come back. We still don't know what his status is. Aaron Baines was out with COVID. He's still recovering, but he's in Orlando with the team, and they're hoping to maybe get him back too during this stretch. But Frank Kaminsky is a guy that I think, you know, maybe the role that he can really take on and succeed at is just being a great team guy, a great guy in the room, and it gives you that space when he's hitting the three. He hasn't been hitting them recently, but he's still got good touch from there. You have to check him. And he can do some things on the interior, too. He's not a complete waste on defense either. I think a lot of people gave him a bad rap for his defense early in his career.
Yeah, you know, I just – God, when he was in college, he was such a great player. And then – in the pros, you know, what was he in Charlotte or something? And then he ended up out
Charlotte.
There.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened to him. Like, I see his stat line. Like, he was averaging 10 or something in the season, and now he's dropping donuts in his minutes that he's playing. I just don't get it. I'm a little weird on that. It just freaks me out. I will say I agree with you on Rubio. I think Ricky's got great vision. You know, I play ball every day of the week of my life, and all I do is play basketball. And I play with a couple of guys that can really pass and that can really make plays, no looks, and get up into the, you know, up near the basket. They drive and get up in the air, and then they get rid of the ball and make amazing plays and get, you know, they just get guys points and they just make plays. They make buckets. They create buckets. He's that guy. And it's funny because people would say, oh, Ricky Rubio, he doesn't have any game. He's got no shot. All he can do is pass. I think he can hit all kinds of threes in tough situations and make plays. And I think he's been incredible for him. And I agree with you. I think they needed that veteran leadership that he provides for them for sure. I mean, they've got all these kids, and then you got this star in Booker that shoots a lot and scores a lot. But they're all a bunch of wild stallions. You got to have somebody maintain some level of veteran poise on that team because they're all a bunch of kids.
Exactly. And he's doing that, man. He and Aaron Baines have both been kind of the adults in the room, and along with Monty Williams. I mean, it starts with Monty, no doubt about it. But Ricky being the coach on the floor, being the creator like you talk about, and he has been good shooting the three down in the bubble. He's been amazing, and that's been huge for the Suns, as we talked about, because they don't have the full arsenal of their players. But the way he runs the show for them, you know, and also let me take a second to just describe how he talked about Devin Booker after that game winner against the Clippers. I mean, he said he got goosebumps and it reminded him of Kobe. He said that, you know, Devin Booker is better than people think, and that, you know, this is his point guard. Obviously, he's on his team. He's going to love him up. But I think it's just dawning on Ricky how good Devin Booker really is, or at least this season, right, since he's been with him the whole route. And right. We couldn't be more thrilled with Ricky Rubio here in Phoenix, because the last few years the cupboard's been pretty bare at the point guard spot.
I like Cameron Payne and Carter too. I remember watching Carter play for Huggins. The guy can defend. Yeah. I think he's a nasty defender. John, it's great having you on the show. It's been a blast. It's great catching up. Congrats on all your success. I know you're having fun in Phoenix. The Suns are terrific, what they're doing. I'm rooting for them. I love watching Devin. He's one of my favorite players. I think he's fantastic. I'm so happy for you. Continued success. I hope your family's healthy and happy in the Valley. Keep doing your thing. We'll get you back on the show. We'll get you on the TV side one of these days, and enjoy the rest of the tournament down in Orlando. It's great having you on the bench tonight, brother.
No, thanks for having me, Scotty. It's been a long time, but I love being back with you. And here's my last thing for you and all your listeners. Devin Booker, as great of a player he is, even better dude. And that's what makes it even easier to root for a guy like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There he is, John Bloom, voice of the Suns. And it's great to have him back on the bench talking about the Phoenix Suns tonight as they continue their hot streak with another win today, beating the Pacers easily. 114-99. And yeah, I do like Payne. Payne gave him 15 today. Carter only gave him 3, but he still got him 3 boards, 2 dimes. Payne gave him 15, 3 and 3. He played at Murray State and has he's about a 10.5 a game guy. He's been tough for him. So they're in overtime now. Toronto and Columbus. They just started the extra session. I'll keep our eyes on this one. We got a lot going on tonight on a bench. All right, Carver, there are people in the church, in the chat room, Church of Pharrell. They're clamoring for beverages. You're going to need to pour them a drink. It looks like everybody wants a beer in there.
Let me get them all lined up right here. Are we ready? How many do we need? We need at least 2 or 3. I saw Matthew in there. We need a couple people in there. Here we go. There's one. There's one for Matt.
There you go.
I have to get James. We'll get one more for James right here.
All right.
Here we go. Boom. Crack them up.
Crack and cold ones. Beverages of choice. So they're in overtime with Toronto and Columbus. And the Flames are up 1-0 in the other game against the Jets. That game is underway now in Edmonton. And if the Flames win that game, it's over. I'm just telling you, like, I'm watching this overtime game. It's hard for me to... do the show. There's all kinds of chances, too. Oh, to humanity. I mean, the Leafs are just peppering this guy, Elvis, with shots right now in the overtime. I am losing weight over here. There's something about overtime hockey. It makes my knuckles white. I get all crazy, right? So, they're in overtime. The other game's in the first period. 1-0. It is what it is. And, it's crazy. And then I just wanted to say the other game that I have interest in is the Laker game. I don't know about you, Carver High. I saw it before, but it was I just want to get the score at the very least because they're in the third now. It's a 10-point Rocket lead on the Lakers, and I'm trying to watch that game as well. So I got a lot going on here tonight. In terms of games, but I am surprised. I got to tell you, I am completely surprised at two things. One, that they came back from 3-0 down to tie this game. Secondly, I'm surprised that the Lakers are going to, you know, bend over and get spanked and call Charlie again tonight. It's like, they really suck.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Game day starts before kickoff. Get ready for the big game with help from Menards. Find great deals on sofas and recliners to keep guests comfortable all game long. Score big savings and stock up on game day goodies. Shop a variety of snacks and drinks to keep your party fueled up. Make Menards a part of your game plan. Shop in-store or on Menards.com and save big money.
Save